Scheduling change, scheduling change. Major Garrett, right now. Major Garrett's going to lead the show. Like all our guests, he's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Let's get to the latest big news story of 12 hours, 24 hours. Who knows what it might be? Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump. Here's Donald Trump talking about his good friend and supporter, Liz Cheney.
I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, Will, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy.
That was last night, Major. As you know, a lot of the political media and a lot of folks paying attention to the election have reacted to what the president said, what his tone has been, of violent nature. And then the specifics of these comments towards former Representative Liz Cheney. What is your view on that back and forth between Carlson and Trump on Cheney?
Well, first of all, Liz Cheney's not on the ballot. Kamala Harris is, point one. Point two, I understand the broader context, and this is something that former President Trump is quite artful at, creating imagery that is volatile and violent, but always or nearly always couching violent, volatile rhetoric in a syntactic way that allows him to say, that's not what I meant, that's not what I was implying, that's not what I was suggesting, and having a plausible way of counter-explaining whatever outrage that volatile, violent rhetoric elicits. And this has become such a deeply embedded part of Trump rhetoric that we are nationally benumbed to it. We just are.
Mm-hmm.
And language that used to have specific, definable meanings no longer does. Enemy from within used to have a defined, specific meaning. It doesn't. It's now just a rhetorical thing passed back and forth in Trump land. Poisoning the blood of a nation used to have a very specific, defined, historical meaning and resonance. No longer does. It's just part of Trump's rhetoric about the border. He's just emphasizing something. He doesn't mean anything by it. There's no historical analogy to draw from it. You're overreacting. And so this back and forth over what words actually mean and what the intentions are behind them is a central part of any conversation involving former President Trump. Is it going to shift this election? No. We're not at the stage any longer, for the audience's benefit, where messaging, rhetoric, is going to change the outcome of this election. Any sophisticated political operative will tell you at this stage of a race, this close to Election Day, with this much early vote already banked, it is about mobilization. And mobilization is a one-on-one enterprise, almost entirely independent of larger messaging rhetoric. It is voter identification, voter contact, recontact, text messages, door knocking, phone calls, transportation, and the rest. That is what this election is about in the closing days. Headlines, social media memes will continue to proliferate and distract and create a even noisier atmosphere, but it will not determine the outcome.
He alone, as you laid out, has created with his words on an almost daily, if not hourly basis, where mm-hmm. it's of a violent nature, it's of a demeaning nature, it's of a mocking mm-hmm. nature, to people to react and sometimes overreact. I don't mm-hmm. believe he was suggesting that Liz Cheney should be executed, as, by the way, a lot of people are putting out there today in the media. I do not. I think if a typical politician makes the point that some are so inclined to go to war, and if they really personally had to do it themselves or their children had to do it and told it with normal phrasing that an everyday individual would offer up, this would be a non-story. But he doesn't approach it that way. He doesn't want to approach it that way. He doesn't fear that his supporters will back away from him. So I am with you. And we're getting to the, Joe Biden's comments on garbage in a little bit. I don't know if anything major can happen over the next 4 days that will in any notable way alter this race. And I don't think these comments from Donald Trump will have an effect on, as you said, getting more people out who are less inclined to vote, the Republicans who are Haley, traditional Republican supporters who agree philosophically with Trump but want no part of him. I don't think this soundbite, and however long this stays in the media discussion, I don't think this is going to influence more than maybe 5 or 10 people, because everything that is about the Donald Trump persona that's already baked in.
Right. If you are inclined to vote Kamala Harris as someone who is a Haley Republican or thinks of himself or herself as a Reagan-type Republican, this doesn't matter. How this is parsed out and how it's filtered through either Trump supporters or Harris supporters doesn't matter to you. You've made up your mind. The only thing that matters to you, and specifically matters to the Trump and Harris campaign, is do you get yourself to the polls? That's what matters. And that's where races are won and lost at this stage of the race. What is your voter contact list? How do you rate them? Every campaign internally rates people in terms of propensity. 5 is the highest score. 1 is the lowest.
Mm-hmm.
Where are your 5s? Where are your 4s? Where are your 3s? Where are your 2s? What are we doing with our 2s? How are we communicating with them? Are they communicating back to us? When we send a text, do we get any reply? How can we make sure that our 2s become 3s and 4s and 5s? All of that is part of the knowledge accumulation, meaning data accumulation, and then having the people and the means by which to turn that information into votes in the home stretch. But this is not going to be the thing that, well, you know what, I was kind of undecided, but yep. Now there's this thing with Tucker Carlson that's going to push me over. Now, in one large macro sense, it reinforces the kind of theme of the week. And the theme of the week is Trump, left to his own devices and the comedic devices of people he puts on his stage at his rallies, is insulting, to put it diplomatically,
Yeah. Either
borderline racist or full-on racist. I'll let people decide for themselves whether it is racist or not to say that Puerto Rico is a floating isle of garbage or that black people are carving up watermelons on Halloween. You make your own determination about what that is or isn't. But it is of a kind of larger, aggressive, grating rhetorical theme that's kind of been identified with Trump all week, whether it's women or Latinos or African Americans. Does the country want more of that? Is that exactly the kind of thing that we feel we would be comfortable with a second time for another 4 years? That is a macro part of this conversation. So in that sense, it's still part of that conversation. There are Trumpists who believe, yeah, the country wants that, it's okay. Harris campaign believes, no, we don't. So in that sense, at the margins, it might have some influence.
Last thing I'll say, and then we'll pause, and we'll talk about Joe Biden garbage. And I know Major wants to spend about 5 minutes praising the Dodgers and their world championship.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Let's not forget Donald Trump, when he found out about General Milley and the phone calls which were made to China around January 6th and after January 6th, assuring China, we're not going to war, because he was so uncertain what Donald Trump might do at the end. This is when Trump responded on Truth Social about the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley. He said, this was an act so egregious, talking about the call, that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death. So if you want to point out a time when he was very specific about it, what he said about Mark Milley was very specific in that case.
Yes. And you don't have to wonder if there's any track record of Trump rhetoric that viewed up against the rhetoric used about Liz Cheney might lead a reasonable person to believe he actually thinks something pretty aggressive. You have every reason to come to that conclusion.
Yes,
the body of
because he does it all the time.
Ample.
Yes.
And when he says we have radical left lunatics in this country that are a far greater danger because they're the enemy from within, and we can use the National Guard and, if necessary, the military to deal with them, that's, I believe, a far clearer line of communication about what he thinks about people who disagree with him fundamentally than the line you might draw about Liz Cheney.
Yep.
That is, to your point, a bit muddled. You can fight that one to a rhetorical draw about what he actually meant. Forget it. Set it aside. He said we have radical left liberals in this country. They're the enemy from within, and the National Guard could deal with them, and if necessary, the U.S. military. I think that's pretty unambiguous.
Yeah, and I think it's frightening myself. It's 18 past 12. Dodger lover Major Garrett back with us in moments. Major is on earlier because he wants to be part of the, I don't know, is the parade today, Dave? I don't even know. I think it's today, right?
Like every day's a parade in L.A.,
yeah, Major wants to be in L.A. to celebrate the Dodgers because even though he's a lifelong Padres fan, Southern California dominates even his Padre pride. We'll get to that in a second. You mentioned it, Tony, and I know you're excited about that. You'll probably the phone will go dead at that point.
False. Fact check, no.
Yeah.
False. Fact check, false.
Tony Hinchcliffe is the insult comic.
Yeah.
Who did say, you know, floating island of garbage, referring to Puerto Rico. I think the watermelon carvings is even worse. I mean, it's
Come on.
You know, there's not. This is an insult comedian. How they ever picked him, I have no idea. I mean, who was involved
in the picked him because he is an insult comedian. They did.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who did. You know, I mean, how high up in the chain someone did. It turned out to be a very foolish decision. If the guy's at a roast and you believe in roast, go for it, right? I get it. There's just the right and wrong place. So Donald Trump distanced himself from it to the shock of no one. In this, he goes to his normal go-to, never heard of the guy. In this case, he
may have
not heard of him. But, I mean, it could be if Don Jr. is involved in controversy, he's capable of saying, I've never heard of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is speaking right before Kamala Harris is about to give her closing arguments, as I made the point earlier in the week, Major. I really don't think she should call it her closing arguments when it's on a Tuesday and the election is a week away and she's going to give 20 more rallies. That's just me. But he's speaking, and he intends to call the comedian garbage. He screws up, whether it's just Joe old, whether it's Joe foot and mouth, whether it's Joe his anger. He uses the phrase supporters and garbage.
Yeah.
What did that story say to you about Joe Biden, the Harris camp dismissing him, frequently not wanting him on the trail? And by the way, Joe Biden presently right now is the president of the United States.
Yeah. So Joe Biden's president of the United States. Those powers run until January 20th of next year. He will exercise them under the Constitution, and that's a fact. But I don't know whose idea it was, but it, for the moment, for this week at least, is competitive, and there's lots of competition for this, dumbest utterance or dumbest strategic decision of the campaign this week, both campaigns.
And by the way, the week's not
right
done.
There'll be more contenders.
Yes.
But on a night when the vice president draws 70,000 plus to the ellipse, delivers a speech that is essentially the way she is going to close the campaign. So that speech had a lot of touch points. It touched on gun violence. It touched on immigration. It touched on inflation. It touched on housing. It touched on democracy and what Trump is and what he might represent as in terms of a threat. Lots of different themes in there, all of which will be condensed and repackaged for different audiences, depending on the venue and the closing days of the campaign. In that sense, it was a closing argument speech in that it is the bracketing of all the issues that the vice president will use. It's a very big night. what Joe Biden was doing other than watching that night and doing nothing but watching.
Right.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
I don't understand. It makes no sense. And anyone who saw that video knew that he was in that moment stumbling rhetorically, as he sometimes does, over what he was trying to say.
More and more.
He clearly said, only garbage I see here is supporters.
Yes.
Supporters.
Yep.
And then there was this mystery apostrophe, yeah, which now, of course, inevitably, the Associated Press has contacted the White House stenographers who just do the stenography. And they said, we put supporters, not apostrophe S, because that's what we heard.
And they're right.
Yeah,
and they're 100% and they're right.
Of course they're right.
Yes.
Of course they're right.
Yep.
And so, for, again, reasons known only to it, the Biden White House does a partial cell phone. Now they have to do a full cell phone. Oh, but now it's 3 days later.
Yep.
Continuing the story. Idiocy. All across the board. Idiocy. And Harris pushed it aside, like, basically looking at the camera saying, that's why this guy's not out here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yep.
That's why I'm here. And that's why you don't see him on the campaign trail, because he ain't got it yet. Left. He doesn't have anything left in the tank. And that's what this is about. Now, I think the back and forth, the rhetoric, the garbage and the garbage trucks and all that other stuff is kind of ridiculous, dopey stuff that doesn't really move anything. But I do think the larger point...
Major Garrett hates garbage, yeah, operators. Put that out there.
No. The larger point is, if you are in this country just a little unnerved by the whole switcheroo,
yeah,
that's going to remind you of it. And yes, if you don't like it, you're
right,
like, hey, you know what? That grates on me. It's kind of grated on me for a couple of months. I haven't really thought about it in a while, but now I see it again. It kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
That's why it just is astonishing to me that they put Biden anywhere near anything, particularly that night, but at all this week.
He should have stepped away from the campaign a year before he did. I think the evidence was overwhelming on that. Okay, I grant you a wish, and I know you want this wish. You can have dinner with Freddie, Mookie, would you walk Walker Bueller, maybe the ghost of Tommy Lasorda, Clayton Kershaw, Mary Hart, diehard Dodgers fan, Pat Sajak. I mean, Padres love. I know you put that aside and said, I am a Dodger fan. Now, Dave, you could feel it, couldn't you?
Oh, it's seeping through the microphone,
yes,
through the phone today.
Exactly.
He's so proud.
Are you in L.A. for the parade right now?
No, I'm in New York City. I'm in New York City getting ready for election night. No, look.
Are you hurt that you're not in L.A. right now? Does that bother you?
No, come on. Will you stop it?
Well, they clinched in L.A., so it makes sense.
Yeah. Dave, were the Padres in the playoffs again?
I can't remember.
Okay,
they had a 2-1 lead.
Oh, that's right. Then they blew it. Yeah.
Yes. We had a 2-1 lead, and we blew it. We didn't score a run for 24 consecutive innings. Yes, I remember. Thank you. I have respect for certain Dodger players. Mookie and Freddie Freeman top that list. I respect for Dave Roberts, who was a bench coach for the San Diego Padres for many years.
Okay.
I'm very happy for him that he's, yeah, won a World Series now too in the last couple 3 years, even though the 2021 was a phony World Series. But
somehow Dave Arrigan, in 6 months, this is going to turn into a phony World Series too. I've not figured out how he's going to arrive there, but it's also going to be an asterisk.
At least we know the pods taught Dave Roberts everything he knows,
yeah,
about managing.
Exactly.
Yes. Anyway, can't wait for pitchers and catchers to report. That's the way we go in baseball.
Yes.
World Series ends, and we just count the calendar days until pitchers and catchers report. And in between, we're just sort of lost and wandering in a kind of dull sports wilderness.
I appreciate the flexibility. I know you're extraordinarily busy. I'll let you go. Look forward to your coverage all next week, and we'll chat a couple times next week.
We'll see you on the other side.
Major Garrett, it's 29 past 12 on Newstalk 830 WCCO.